Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up? Welcome to Overtime. Chris Miles, Reese Waters here with you on this Tuesday evening. Reese, we got some serious business to get into tonight. We have some fun stuff, but that's got to take a back seat.
Absolutely, man.
So the breaking news this afternoon, I know it's now the evening, but the big story of the day still remains. The situation with Redskins defensive back Monte Nicholson. Search warrant obtained by TMZ, actually, spelled out a disturbing scene at the hospital. And it said that the 21-year-old who passed away was dropped off by Monte Nicholson. And it looked as if at the time that she was dropped off, that she had indeed already passed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first serious part of the situation. The second is that investigators got a warrant for Monte Nicholson's house. Again, he's 23 years old. She's 21. Says the safety, they found pills, weed, and foil with residue in his residence when they searched his home. So that's the serious nature of this particular story. The other thing that we have to note is that apparently police say that Monte is not a suspect, not someone they believe had any wrongdoing, and he's cooperating with the police. Well, so that's maybe, if you want to say, the silver lining with him in this situation.
I mean, it sounds like he's cooperating with the police if indeed they found pills, weed, and foil with residue in his home when they searched it days later. I would imagine the motivation to try and clean some of that stuff up, because I'm not going to assume that he didn't know that stuff was in his home. So he allowed that to be found. So that speaks to some level of cooperation. There's a dispute right now about whether or not he actually stayed at the hospital or not. I saw where officials were saying that after the woman was removed, the two men, quote, exited the area, something that Nicholson's reps have disputed. So that's something. He's claiming he stayed at the hospital. They're saying that he dropped the woman off and left. So that's something that has yet to be adjudicated.
I mean, it's a pretty heavy situation. I saw a lot of people who cover the team. They were surprised to see him at practice. I believe it was on Friday. When did the incident happen? I believe it was on Wednesday. Whatever it was, he showed up to practice after this story came out, and then he played in the game.
Right.
And so there are different trains of thought of, well, he wasn't charged with anything. He's cooperating with police, so why not play in a game? But then there's kind of being ahead of something. And if you're the Redskins and you're, 1-8 at that point now, 1-9, right? Why put him on the bench? He's not playing today. We're good. We're ahead of this situation. You're not winning football games. You're not playing for playoffs. Why, as an organization, just from a PR standpoint,
right?
Just be short a player that's a rotation.
Yeah, I don't think we would have known the difference from the Jets game, quite frankly. I got to think, if you're on Monte Nicholson's team, if you're a friend, family member, advisor, something like that, whether or not he has any legal culpability in what happened, clearly this is a traumatic event that just occurred, and I don't know that that's where he needs to be as far as his own personal emotional roller coaster and getting over this whole situation.
I guess from his perspective, I don't want to say if I'm him, but if you're looking at it from his point of view, you got to think he's trying to do whatever he can to keep his career going.
Right.
Right. Because at 23, this is a huge cloud to have hanging over you. And, for all intents and purposes, I hope that he is innocent in this situation and he does have a prolonged career. I don't, you know, not right. wishing anything bad on him. But if you're him, you got to think, I need to play in a game and perform well and try to keep my job.
Well, these NFL careers are short. I mean, we're learning these NFL careers are short. There's a potential labor stoppage, which is happening on the horizon. So that's something they got to think about, too, trying not to miss a game check. So there's a lot of things that factor into this potential scenario. But I'm hoping, and you know, you always hope in situations like this, that this becomes some sort of cautionary tale of what can occur when you're out there like that. You never know. You never know how these nights are going to end.
But it's like
whether or not you have any legal culpability or not, that's nothing that I want to experience in my lifetime.
This seems like something for the rookie symposium.
Oh, for sure.
When they get these kids together before the start of the season, and you know this every single year, the NFL does it, the NBA does it. Hey, this is a story they need to tell you because this is a young player drafted in, what, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a situation where you got to think you had drugs in your house and someone overdosed.
And this was a young woman. She's 21.
I looked at the picture, and I thought it was the wrong person.
Yeah.
Looks like a high school student. So, I don't know, man. It's sad to see, one, that someone lost their life.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad to see that with everything happening poorly for the Redskins this season, that now this is added on top of it.
Right. And, you mean, you brought up the woman who lost her life. Let's keep that in perspective, too. I mean, we're talking about it on Sports Talk Radio because of the connection to the Redskins. But, you know, ultimately this is something that's going on outside of the confines of, you know, NFL players' homes. This is something that's going on out in society, and hopefully this becomes a cautionary tale for people there too.
I mean, even when you look at the time period we live in, you know, you look at a time capsule 5-10 years later, you always go, oh, what defined that era? And I think when you talk about drug use, they're going to use the term the opioid crisis. From this time period. I don't know if this is part of that, but they did say it was pills. They did say residue. So you wonder, you know, what those drugs were and what they revolved in. And you wonder, you know, if Monte was partaking in these substances.
Well, let's be honest, Chris. You and I grew up in a different era. Okay. Yeah. When we grew up, crack was whack. Okay. That's all we knew. Just say no and crack was whack. Okay. We didn't have all these other options. It wasn't up on the videos. But, you know, we didn't have hip-hop artists openly admitting to everything they got in the hotel room or did right before they came out on stage. It's a completely different culture.
Yeah. I mean,
we live in a much more permissive culture than we did when we were coming up.
The crazy part
for me. And I sound 65, and I'm not.
I feel 85 when I hear these songs and these guys talking about they're popping pills, feeling like a rock star. And I'm like, you're what?
I was like, oh, word?
You're doing drugs? That was never cool. Like, when did doing drugs become part of something you mentioned in the rap song?
When did admitting to doing drugs become cool? And then be wondering why they want to use your track on the stand. You let them do that. All they got to do is Google the lyrics.
Like, you snitched on yourself.
Lyrics genius be him and everybody up. The whole block.
So, in just thinking about how we're going to look back at this time period and, you know, 10 years from now, it'll be interesting to see another thing that I want to talk to you about. And that's how we looked at sports 10 years ago. Coming back, we're going to go 2009 versus 2019. That's next on Overtime. Welcome back to Overtime. Chris Miles, Reese Waters here. And Reese, what were you doing in 2009?
I was watching Carmelo Anthony cook the same thing I'm about to be doing in about an hour. I'm ready. Hey, man, welcome back. Can we get an applause for Carmelo Anthony? Can we get an applause?
Mello. Yay,
Mello. Oh, like a hood or city. Woo, 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 woo. Hey, man, y'all better cheer Carmelo brink or swish.
You know, it's going to be, first of all, it's going to be swishes.
Whatever happens, y'all better cheer that
man. You know Damian Lillard's not playing either.
I know. So he got the green light to cook. For a full 48 minutes. Look, let's be honest.
He's going
to
be in the HOV lane. Yeah, he just got the green light.
Let's be honest.
He'll be driving no traffic.
This was a game that the Trailblazers said, all right, we're not winning this. You know what? Let's throw Carmelo in here and see what happens. Whatever happens, happens. They're not concerned with winning this game. They realize that Dame is missing. This is what you call a schedule loss. They're going to be all right, though, because everybody's going to come to watch Carmelo cook. I can't wait.
So I'm trying to figure out which Melo was that.
If I was Melo, I would come out in the bathrobe, okay? I would come out in the slippers. I would come out with a hoodie on. I will come out full for the culture, Melo. That's what we need right now.
A hoodie with no sleeves.
A hoodie with no sleeves, in a bathrobe over it, and slippers. That's what I want from Melo.
That's
tonight.
The last thing he should do.
That's what I want. That's what I want from Melo tonight.
All right. So 2009, Melo. I don't think the cornrows were gone. Was that like headband, Melo? I think that was headband, Melo.
That was learning from Kobe, Melo.
Headband, Melo.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Denver.
So. Here's the crazy thing, all right? So I'm going to ask you a question because we're doing 2009 versus 2019.
I did see that trending, yeah.
Right? That was trending. I was like, this would be great for our show today. So the Redskins, offhand, what were they doing in 2009?
They were garbage.
What? Just give me a record. Give me close. They were basura, bro.
Let me guess. The bottom hadn't fallen out. I'm going to go with 7-9.
How about this? It was like looking in the mirror to this year. Jim Zorn got fired.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
They were 4-12.
Oh, wow.
Jason Campbell was the quarterback. Santana Moss was arguably one of the best things on the team, mainly because that's my guy. So I'm a cape for him.
Right.
And the running backs, I look at the list and I'm like, I don't know who those people are. And I remember teams. I'm like, I do not know who any of those running backs are. So what's crazy is, even though the Redskins were 4-12 that year and they're not getting the 4 wins this year, at least.
Wow, no, you've already written that off.
They're not getting the 4 wins. Okay. The glimmer of hope of Dwayne Haskins, Terry McLaurin, and Darius Geis. Like, I'm looking at those three and I think, well, this season's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be optimistic, two of those three you know are NFL players for sure. And one of them, you hope he develops into a quarterback in this league.
I actually wonder, I have to look at this during the break. Have the Redskins won 4 quarters this season?
There's no way.
You don't think they've won 4 quarters this season?
No.
Well, I know they won 1 quarter because they got to win. I don't know. We got to look that up at the break. 2009, man. I had no idea this was going to last this long.
What do you mean last this long? It's been since like 1993.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we were going to turn the corner.
Wait. Yeah. Mark Rippon, Super
we
Bowl
had
91.
We had hope for Jason Campbell. We were like, this Chocolate City.
Nah, man. You know
we got Jason Campbell.
You know how I knew Jason Campbell wasn't going to be nutching?
Nubian Prince.
I was in Tyson's Corner Mall, and I walked up, and I was like, oh, that's Jason Campbell. And he's just strolling through the mall. No one recognized him. I'm like, he's the quarterback for Washington Redskins, and no one notices this dude.
I mean, because he was in Tyson's Corner. If he couldn't have walked around Pentagon City like that.
Yeah, he could have.
He couldn't have walked around Iverson Ball like that. I bet you not. He couldn't have gone to Forest Village Park Mall in Forestville. I bet you not.
Here's my point. Like, you're the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
But you should be able to go anywhere and get noticed in your city. And if you're the starting quarterback on an NFL team.
You don't think Dwayne Haskins can walk Tyson's Corner right now?
That's what I'm saying. He's in a Jason Campbell range right now.
Can walk Tyson's Corner is Case Keenum.
He's not. This is what I'm saying.
Case Keenum could walk into the Fan 106.7 and be like, hey man, can I help you?
This is the point that I'm making. At some point, they got to have a quarterback that can't walk around Tyson's Corner Mall. That when they walk in, people are like, oh my God, Kevin, the quarterback of the Redskins.
What's your name? Case? Hey man, you can't have that coffee right there. That's not free. No, that's for talent. You got to find your way.
Coffee's for closers.
coffee's for closers.
I got another one for
you. You're not even a starter right now.
You know what? I got another one for you, but I think we're going to wait
okay.
to the top of the hour because this game is going to be better than I thought. But I don't want you to research in a commercial break.
All right.
So promise
wait,
me.
Wait. Can I at least look up and see if the Redskins have won 4 quarters on the season?
You can do that, but don't look up the other teams. What they were doing in 2009.
Okay.
Because I guarantee that one of these, the anniversary that's coming up, is going to blow your mind.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Don't say it.
No.
Don't say it yet.
Are we going to get Andre Blotch in the show for the second week in a row? Shout out to
Blotch,
Andre Blotch.
Blotch, 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 Blotch,
we
Blotch,
love you, player.
Blotch. Oh, man.
Official, the official player of the Chris Miles Reese Waters Project.
Oh, man. Okay, so here's the other thing. In a few minutes, we're also going to open up the phone lines, and here's the question that I have for you. Hit us up, 1-800-636-1067. Of the four major pro teams, I hate to say it that way, but we're going to go with the NHL, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. Of those four teams, who's had the most successful last 10 years since 2009? I think the answer is not as easy as you think. I think we know who the front runner is for number one, but I think there might be a contender for that number one spot. Hit us up. Who you think? And if we come to an agreement for number one, then just tell us the second team, okay? 1-800-636-1067. We'll be back. Welcome back to Overtime. Chris Miles and Reese Waters. And the discussion we're having is 2009 versus 2019 and what these teams have accomplished in a decade. So,
well, we do have an update before we get into that.
What's this?
We have breaking news. Evidently, Carmelo has gone 1-for-35 in pregame warm-ups.
Oh, boy.
So, evidently, they've lost 3 basketballs into the stands.
You know what? That's hatred coming from your heart. And you need to bury that because you said you're looking for 2009 Melo to show up in his debut against the Trailblazers.
I love Carmelo. I love him for the culture. I love what he's brought to the game of basketball. And I want nothing more than the full Melo experience.
That would be 35 game back.
I want the full Melo experience.
Okay. So how about this? Before break, we told you about what the Redskins did in 2009.
Mm.
And it's exactly, well, it might be better than what they're doing in 2019. Might be. 4-12, fired head coach Jim Zorn. They are, 1-9 and fired Jay Gruden. So what we're trying to figure out, and that's what we are asking you if you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Of the four major teams, pro sports, in D.C., who's had the best run from 2009 to 2019? I think we all kind of agree on the number one slot, but I got something for you before we do that. You ready?
All right. I mean, to me, it's a two-person fight. I mean, it's basically have a seat, Redskins and Wizards, and watch the professionals go along and get along. So this is between the Nationals and the Capitals.
This is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
So you're saying the Nationals and the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you rolling with on that one?
The Capitals. The Capitals have a couple presidents' trophies, best record in the league. Nobody else could say that. I mean, the Nats might have done that 1 year, but nobody else has been rolling them out like that. It's easily the Capitals.
So when you say it's easily the Capitals,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
There you go.
I try to have some suspense. Here's the deal: they've missed the playoffs once. 2009 is, okay, so we're starting that year.
Right.
Alex Ovechkin, that was his third straight year with 50 goals or more. So he was already the great eight.
Yep.
So it's not like, oh, so in 2009 and 10, he wasn't that. He was already Alex Ovechkin. None of these other teams had that superstar.
Well, I think
at that point, Bryce
might have.
No,
not,
he wasn't there in 2009.
Not in 2009.
That's
not
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Bryce, 09, 10, 11. You had to wait 3 or 4 years for mm-hmm. Bryce and Strasburg. Like the Nationals jump off is 2012.
Also.
See, the Nationals jump off is 2012.
Yes. Well, look, I remember having a meltdown, 2010, when they lost, Capitals lost in the first round to the Montreal Canadiens in that 1-8 matchup. But since we're talking about regular, because that was how high my expectations were already back then. For the Washington Capitals. That's why I never really used to get at the Capitals like that when they would melt down in the playoffs year after year after year after year. Because I knew that they were clearly the best local team that we have and the only team that would give us hope to compete deep into the season. Because let's be honest, our football seasons are over at Thanksgiving. And typically our basketball seasons are over at Christmas.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet. This year it ended in October.
At least they give us a full, you know, like there. I'm like, you know what? I can't even be mad at the Capitals.
How about this? So when we open it up for callers, let's say this. We know it's the Caps. You and I agree on this.
Yep.
I think that there's a difference between an opinion and a fact.
Mm-hmm.
The Caps have had the best.
And today's Washington is arguable.
Oh,
I don't know
boy.
If you watched the impeachment hearings, but it's murky.
Oh, boy.
It's murky.
Yep, I know where you're going. Yep. But what I'm saying, as far as sports are concerned,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We know that we have the facts laid out in front of us. Caps are number one, and everybody else, we're having a debate second, third, or worst. Because there are some people who may believe that the Wizards have had a worse run since 2009 than, let's say, the Redskins. And then you could look at it like the Nationals winning the World Series takes them, you know, puts them at this pinnacle. But before that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're talking about a team, what? Oh, how many playoff series have they won?
Well, they hadn't won many playoff series, but they've been to the playoffs. I think you could almost do it like playoff appearances. I think if you're doing it by percentage wins, I think it also goes in terms of playoff appearances. I feel like the Capitals have made the most playoff appearances, followed by the Nats,
followed by the Wizards.
I would guess the Nats.
So,
but you know what? I forgot. Everybody makes the playoffs. That's right.
Makes the playoffs in the NBA?
Of course. Are you kidding me?
Are you doing that thing?
If you just had to be 500 to make the playoffs in baseball, the Nats would make it every year.
Look, I'm being rude.
Our rec league team.
Oh boy.
The Capitol Heights Bobcats made the playoffs in the
That's
NBA last year.
My man Mark in Reston has been waiting for a while, so I'm gonna go to him. Hey Mark, how's it going, man?
Hey, good guys. How are you tonight?
We're great. Great.
Awesome. I appreciate you taking my call. I used to do sports radio back in college, so I understand the grind, obviously on a much lesser scale, so I appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you, man.
So, yeah, of course. So I think, like you guys said, it's no contest. I think it's obviously the Caps. I remember in 2009, I'm pretty sure that was the 100-loss season for the Nationals, and it took them a couple of years to finally get on track to get their stuff together. I think a more interesting question is who's been, I guess, more successful between the Wizards and the Redskins. Just because obviously there's been a couple of seasons here and there that have been good for both teams, but both aren't doing so hot right now.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot for coming up with that topic. Here's the deal.
Well, look,
this is what we're saying: third and fourth place. So, are we just conceding first to the Caps, second to the Nats? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Because I think with the Nats winning the World Series, that's a yes.
Yeah.
But are you saying you were giving the Nats that love before that? And I'm not.
Yeah, I would.
I'm saying that the Nats and the Wizards for me,
I would.
Before the World Series, before this run, I put them in the same stratosphere.
In the last 5 years, 6 years.
But we're doing since 2009.
Right. I'm saying in the last 5, 6 years. I have felt like the Nats could win the World Series, and at no point in the 10-year window have I felt that way about the Redskins
with that assessment.
Or the Wizards.
I can concur with that assessment, feeling if you think they're going to do something.
Yeah.
It's not what we're doing here.
What we're
doing here is we're looking at the wins, where they finish.
Well, look, the reason why I felt that way six consecutive years is because the previous year they gave me reason to feel that way.
Bryce Harper,
I wasn't pulling it out of
Bryce
the clear
Harper
blue sky.
MVP.
Now, I will say this. If you talk about between the Wizards and Redskins, I don't think there's any way the Redskins have won as many games as the Wizards. But I will tell you this.
No, because they play 82 games in basketball. And
percentage-wise, obviously.
I know.
But I don't think the Wizards have given us a team as good as RG3's rookie season Redskins.
I think they've given us something way better.
The Trevor Booker stories?
What happened December 24th, 2009? Christmas Eve, 2009. Where were you?
Christmas Eve, 2009.
When you heard.
I think I made up a story that said I couldn't afford to come home because I wanted to party with my friends in New York City over Christmas break and almost got excommunicated from the family.
You know what? That's Gilbert Arenas.
What, Hibachi? Where'd he go for?
No. You only played 32 games that season. You know what happened? Yeah. 2009 is the season. That got suspended.
That was the car game. That was
mm-hmm.
the photo.
Mm-hmm.
That was the growing a tail in the shoe. That was the
bringing guns to
that
work.
That was gunplay.
Gilbert.
That was That was when we discovered the meaning of unprofessional. We thought unprofessional was like showing up late to work or showing up late to a meeting
or not wearing a tie. Did you say showing up late to work?
Yeah.
You're saying that's unprofessional?
Yeah.
What time did you get here?
Hey, we're not getting into all that. Hey, was I here at 6:30? Wait a minute.
He goes, showing up late for work.
Who was here at 6:30? Who was here at 6:30? Was I here at 6:30? What happened?
You were here. Okay, you were here. Cool.
I'm just checking.
You were on the microphone.
Can we run the tape back? See if I was here at 6:30?
You're on the microphone.
Wow.
Saying, showing up.
Wow. You out here calling a brother out. I said, okay. I see how it is. We got names for people like you, player.
Oh, man.
All right. I'll say this.
Yeah.
That was when we learned just how deep the pool of unprofessional could be. I thought it was not wearing a tie. I would have called it unprofessional.
Wearing a tie now is part of the whole professional look.
Gunplay, you know, now he made us all feel better about our own situation.
He's a good rapper on Rick Ross's album.
Is he?
Gunplay.
No. Oh, you talking about Gunplay. I thought it was like Gilbert Arenas. I don't mind Gunplay. He got a track called Babylon Dash that I feel. And he has a remix, Babylon Dash Parts 1 and 2.
I could see why you're a sit-down comedian. I get it.
That's how we do.
Man, because I'm dying over here.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. But no, seriously, so that was 10 years ago for the Wizards. That was that 2009 season.
Okay. I would have guessed that was later. So that meant that.
And then they got John Wall because of that season.
Right. So wow, so that's crazy. So when Trevor Booker was telling them stories about being on the road, that was 2010. That was after all of that.
I did some research.
Yeah.
I think he was indulging a little bit. I think he heard stories from other people on those teams. Like, I don't think he witnessed all of that.
You think this was before?
I think it happened before he got there.
Okay.
Because I went and talked to someone who was on those teams.
Okay, so the great Ratchet Wizards was actually like
before that.
2007, 8, 9, around.
Yeah.
There. Okay.
And then Trevor gets there.
Right.
And those guys are joking about those things.
That's
and that maybe one or two of those stories happen.
So players are just like us. It's almost like how I tell stories that happened in high school, but it's really like an 8-year span because it's all the stories I heard from the people that were there before me and the ones that were there after me.
He said it's like a 10-year high school span.
Yeah, it's like a whole, okay, I remember that. Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we're actually going to take some of these calls, and we're going to still examine this because I don't think we came to a conclusion. So 2009 versus 2019, in the last decade, we've agreed or semi-agreed because I think we have a caller that actually disagrees. You know what? Mark in D.C., you do not agree with the consensus that the Caps are just in a number one spot. What say you, my friend?
So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's really close, in my opinion, because, yeah, the Caps and the Nets have one thing in common. They both broke through recently, and they both prior to that had gone out way before the actual seed. But you got to look at a couple of things. One thing, 16 teams make the NHL playoffs. So making the NHL playoffs really ain't that big a thing. The Nets, since 2000, I mean, it doesn't start till 2012, like you were saying. But since then, they've been in the playoffs, you know, they won a division 4 out of those 8 years, and they made the wild card the other year and made a run to the World Series. And they've had, like, so many 90-plus seasons. I think if you look across the board, they may be the number one or number two team in wins over that last 10-year span. So I think that puts them up there a little bit, you know, and, you know, we've had like 97 wins, 95 wins back to back. We had 92, 93 wins. I mean, the team has been strong for a long time. Caps too, but the Caps, you know, have been in the playoffs a few times, like as a 500. You can't make the Major League Baseball playoffs going 500. You got to have a strong season to be in there with the Major League Baseball.
All right, Mark, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. He makes an interesting point that we had to fact check a little bit here, buddy. So since 2009, the Caps win totals, let's go through it, okay, because he said that they made the playoffs a few times with 500 records, and I find that hard to believe looking at the dominance of this team what was it, 54-15, 48-23, 42-3, 27-18, 38-30. That's the year they did not get in. Looks like they had, 14 ties? 45-26, 56-18, 55-19, 49-27, 48-26. That's a myth. They've been pretty dominant. And if they were in baseball with that percentage of wins, they'd be, you know, home field advantage, that sort of thing. All right, we have to take a break as we continue this debate. But we appreciate your call so far. And, Reese, I like where you at, where you're at on this as well. You're listening to Overtime with Chris Miles and Reese Walker. Welcome back to Overtime. So the debate rages on. Before we went to break, we had a caller that tried to knock down the Caps to try to bring up the Nats, and he was just factually incorrect. So we had to set the record straight. I think if you look at overall record, you look at the star players on the team, I think the Caps have had the best run since 2009. I feel like the Nats are second, Wizards third, in the Redskins.
Yeah, you don't have to say it. Well, I mean, one thing he said, so he mentioned that in the NHL and the NBA, he actually echoed the same thing I said about everybody making the playoffs, which is not incorrect. But
not when you're dominant like the Caps.
Exactly. The Caps didn't just slide in. I got 1 year, 2013, 2014, where they missed the playoffs. All the other years that they were in the playoffs, they led their division all but 2014-15 when they were in second place, and 2011-2012 when they were also in second place. So this was not a team that was sliding into the playoffs. This was a top seed just about every season.
And in the Wizards' defense, they advanced past the first round. This isn't a team that, they went to the playoffs and then lost in the first round, therefore they're just like all the teams make the playoffs. They finished those seasons as a top eight team in the NBA. You see what I mean?
You mean by virtue of winning the first round?
By having a good enough record to be a top five, six seed, mm-hmm. and then advancing to the second round of playoffs. So
can you really say that in the East, though?
I could say that more so than I could for the Redskins. I'm just comparing them to the Redskins.
I'm like, can you really say that in the East, though?
It's better than 9-7. 9-7 is the only good season the Redskins have had. 9-7 is your best record.
Look,
you haven't won 10 games in this time period.
Don't say you. Because I'm not arguing for
you
the Redskins.
You are arguing for the Redskins.
I'm debating your Wizards point.
You coming at me with the Redskins.
I'm debating your Wizards point because we can get in the East right now, okay? You and I can
you
get
in.
We
can pick up a
squad. We can pick up a squad with the cleaning crew around this office.
That's
and we
true.
Can get in the East right now and compete, okay? Let's be real when we talk about a top eight team because they won the first round of the playoffs. Now, I'll give them credit for winning playoff games.
You know there's like five good teams in the East right now.
I give them credit. Do you realize what it says that's a statement that you can make?
Five good teams.
You can bow your chest out, so you realize it's five good teams in the East, right? Do you realize what a sad state of affairs that is?
The Wizards used to be one of those teams before
that
Wall got hurt.
You can actually feel good about making that statement that there's five good teams in the East right now.
That was the statement before, and the Wizards were one of those teams.
That is a high watermark maybe for...
Well, for the Redskins, a high watermark is five wins.
Why you keep acting like I'm arguing for the Redskins?
Because the debate...
I'm not.
The debate on hand is, okay, we're putting these teams in order since 2009.
Right.
So if you come at me with Redskins facts, it's like you're trying to negate Wizards facts.
I'm not coming at you with Redskins facts. I am negating Wizards facts. It's actually exactly what I'm doing. I'm not coming at you with Redskins facts at all.
I think if we tried to have a discussion about the Nats and the Wizards, that died when the Nats won the World Series. So now we can only have the Wizards and Caps discussion. So I think we have someone who wants to try to bring that debate back up, even though you and I already agree it's the Caps. Okay, Vic, state your case.
It's a tie of Capitals and Nationals. I'm explaining to you why. From the mid-2000s, I want to say for the Capitals, they were arguably one of the best teams in sports in the regular season. And what I would compare them to is the Dallas Mavericks, when the Dallas Mavericks were winning all those games every season with Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki. And they just weren't getting deep into the playoffs, so they weren't pushing past the playoffs. But you knew they were going to win 50-plus games in the West. And it got to the point where the Eastern Conference, the division title with the Capitals was a lock. It was like I got tired of saying, I was like, I'm bored with that. They're gonna win that. I want to see them win the Stanley Cup. And then winning the World Stanley Cup championship, it just topped it off. And with having arguably the best player in hockey in the past decade. But then you got to look at the Nationals too. The Nationals had multi 90 plus win seasons. Multiple. And they were consistently winning 90 games, easily winning 90 games. And then the winner of World Series, it topped it off too. So when you compare the adversity, when you compare the competition and the consistency, it's about the same. It's not much different. It's head and shoulders over the crap we got in the rest of the league. I don't want the Wizards in the conversation. The Wizards are a ball of mediocrity. And the Redskins are a ball of crap that you finish after Thanksgiving. And I'm saying it just like that. So I don't think they should be anywhere near the conversation. The Nationals and the Capitals have been a model of excellence in sports, and not just Washington in sports, in the past decade. And we don't need to mention the Wizards and the Redskins with them. I think it's tied at one.
All right. Here's the thing. I just like the fact that he agreed with me that the Wizards are still a level above.
I just like that he felt peer pressure that he couldn't keep saying multi, that he had to say multiple. Now, I will say this. The Nationals won 90 games 5 times in this span that we're talking about. The Nationals did win 90 games. I actually kind of like the comp between the Caps and the Dallas Mavericks, because I remember the Dallas Mavericks always thinking that they were going to be there, but never actually thinking that they were
a threat. They won that chip in 2011. Like, it's actually the same exact comp.
Yeah. I like that comp a lot, actually.
You know, so are you referring to the Steve Nash, Michael Finley, Dirk Nowitzki teams? Or are you referring
the post Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki,
right after
Josh
that.
Howard.
Josh Howard.
Tyson Chandler teams.
Yeah, those teams felt more like, oh, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Then they did once. And now they're.
But they suffered some crushing defeats. Remember, they were the ones that lost to the Warriors, the B. Diddy Warriors. With that crazy dunk.
Yeah.
They lost to the B. Diddy Warriors in the first round. They had some of the most crushing defeats that team did. And in that way, I feel like it is a perfect comp because. I mean, the Capitals, despite being so dominant in the regular season, they lost in the quarterfinals in 2007, which is before what we're tracking right now, but they lost in the quarterfinals in 2009 and again in 2012, rather. So they've been just as futile during some of those years when they had great regular seasons.
Okay. I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen next? We're going to actually talk about the NFL. In order to do that, we're going to have to leave the Redskins out of discussion. You down for that?
Wow. We're going to talk NFL in D.C. on Sports Talk Radio and leave the Redskins out of discussion.
Yeah, we want people to listen, not turn us off.
I've been waiting for
this.
That's
up next on Overtime. What's up, people? You're listening to Overtime. Chris Miles, Reese Waters here. Okay, as promised, we're not talking about the Redskins, but we are talking about the NFL. So here's the thing.
All right.
I look at it like, since the Redskins are so bad, I go, okay, what are teams in games that I have to watch? So if there's a player on the team, I'm like, no. Whatever I'm doing, I got to make time to catch that game. So I have the 10 must-watch NFL players for me this season.
Uh-huh.
So before we even start, I'm going to tell you people I left off the list that are always on it. Odell Beckham.
Yep.
Because he's not producing. The team is trash, whatever. You don't have to watch them. Saquon Barkley. He's hurt. He's not the same player right now. He should always be on this list, but he's not. And then a hard one for me to leave off was Julio Jones. Because the Falcons are bad, even though he's still Julio.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I want you to agree or disagree with me on this, and if you think they should be higher as we go down the list.
Okay.
You ready?
Josh Norman.
Nah, man.
Trick or treat Josh Norman?
He's a Redskins player.
Trick or treat Josh Norman?
List.
All right, go ahead.
That was good. Man, he's on your don't watch list.
I love I love whenever he plays because he triggers people on social media so much.
You know what he is?
And then they come out with the toast memes.
Nah, man. Yeah, those be the burnt avocado
the
toast.
The burnt toast memes.
The thing about him is he's like, you know, when you get that email and you look at it, and you're like, from my aunt, this don't look like something she would send me. And you know it's spam. Yeah. And if you click on it, it might mess up your whole email. That's Josh Norman is that. Like, you recognize him,
right?
But he ain't. You know it ain't him. It's over.
Josh Norman's like that club you went to one time and you had the time of your life. You barely remember it, but all you know was that everything broke right. You met that girl. She made eyes at you. The DJ was on his game. It's in his bag. You had an incredible, all the drinks were flowing and they hit just right. It was a perfect night. And you keep going back to that same club, expecting that night to repeat itself. And, you know, the talent don't never be right. The DJ don't never be right. The bartender don't never be right. It's like, how did I have that? Like, am I making this up that I had this incredible time at this club?
And sometimes it all just falls in line. Like, I went to Detroit. My boy was from Detroit. He's like, yo, let me take you to this spot. Detroit is just, it's not what it was 10 years ago. It's just a whole different place.
Mm-hmm.
So every place, I was like, this is whack. We went to some suburb called Troy or something. And it was popping.
Really?
Was like,
okay.
He was looking at me. I'm like, this is the best club I've been to. I know for sure if we went back the next Saturday... in 2 months, it would not have been that.
Yep.
All right. So
that is the Josh Norman experience.
Yeah, he's the don't
click
that
email
guy.
Brought to you by Chris Miles and Reese Waters.
Okay, so number 10 on my list, Michael Thomas.
Nope.
No. Higher or not on your list?
He would not be on my list because I feel like there's always look. Not to take anything away from him, although I'm about to take things away from him.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, there was Marcus Colston. There's somebody they cycle in as that number one with New Orleans in that Sean Payton, Drew Brees offense that puts up crazy numbers and runs wild free in the secondary.
So here's the crazy thing. I factor that into the equation. That's why he's 10 and not like 3.
Mm.
So first of all, he's leading the league in receiving yards by like 200 yards. He has 1,141 yards. Next guy has like 900 and something.
But what I'm saying is if he played for Buffalo – would you be watching Buffalo games like that?
But what you just did is you said Drew Brees. Drew Brees missed 5 games. You know what I'm saying?
But
so
I'm
like, he was doing that with Teddy Bridgewater.
Wait, were you interested? Were you watching the games when he was doing it with Teddy Bridgewater? Because I wasn't checking for the Saints.
So
helmed by Teddy Bridgewater.
I covered them, so I do watch them.
Okay.
So he's 10 on my list, but I'm okay with you leaving him off because he's on a cusp.
Yeah, I believe
he's the 10 guy.
Yeah.
All right, so number 9 on my list. It's hard for me because I've always been a huge fan. Aaron, my man Aaron Rodgers. Okay. I have him at 9 because he kind of sometimes looks washed. But man, they're 8-2. You know, and sometimes he gives us that little glimpse of what he used to be.
I will put him higher because when you go really high.
This is good. I would like you to tell me why.
When you go really high, it means that I'm entertained by watching you. Even though you might be washed. Even if you are washed, I'm still entertained by you.
Okay.
And I'm entertained by Aaron because, A, he can still pull it out of his bag, even though you think he's like occasionally he can still make a play. But secondly, he's such a personality, I want to see how he's going to handle being washed. Which we haven't seen yet. But, like, when he becomes washed, that will still be must-see to me because I want to see how he deals with it, how he handles it, how he wilds out on the sideline. I want to see all that.
You think you're going to go full mellow? I ain't coming off the bench. I'm Aaron. I ain't coming off the bench.
We do have some breaking news and update. It seems that Mello made a mid-range jumper in pregame warm-ups.
Wait, hold on. I'm watching a video.
To 2-for-45.
Do I need to show you this video of him just draining threes? It's on Slam.
Wait, is he wearing an orange jersey? Says Syracuse.
He is wearing a black sleeveless hoodie. Like I told you, it looks like he has on a durag.
Does it say New York on the front?
He has that's a headband. And why would you need a headband and a sleeveless hoodie together?
Hey, that's the full Mello experience.
You know what? That's
he's
like,
leaving nothing on the table.
I'm trying to think of what kind of food experience that would be like. That's like.
You know,
I don't know, man. Putting bacon on ham.
You know what
something.
It is? It's like putting whipped cream on ice cream.
Who? Yes.
It's like putting whipped cream on ice cream. And
You've done that before.
I know. I'm a firm proponent. Whipped cream is the most useless, wasteful.
Useless.
I mean, it's mediocre icing.
I don't understand.
Ice cream mix, like, it's not that good, but it's just as bad for you as stuff that's actually
good. Hold on. So if whipped cream's at the top of your list, and we'll get back to my list in a little bit.
Yeah.
What else is, like, the most worthless, most over? Candy corn is number one for me.
Candy corn's terrible.
What is with people in candy corn?
I don't know.
I only know one person that likes candy corn. And I'm like, why? How?
Is it your grandmother?
Nah.
Is it somebody who lived through the Great Depression? Because you can't trust old people when it comes to candy, because they
like
used to
hard
legit
candy.
Just open up sugar packets and eat those.
Man, you go to your grandma's house and you look, you know it's the worst? When you go looking for those cookies and and that little tin canister, and it's like needles and stuff they sew with. You're like, what? Where are the cookies? This is some bull.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
You know, we went all the way. Okay, it's time. We have to take another break.
Okay, all right.
We just went way too long in this, so... We just got, like, through our first two, so we got eight more to go.
All right, I'm going
to
let you flow through.
I'm going to let you finish. But first, Chris Miles.
That Reese happened Waters. In 2009.
Was that 10 years ago?
Yes, it was.
And he's been just crazy. All right, Chris Miles, Reese Waters. All right, we got to get into this because we've been slacking on our Mac a little bit, Reese. Okay, so... The players in the NFL that when they're on the field, we got to watch them. Mm-hmm. And this is going to tick a lot of people off here in D.C. because I said we're leaving the Redskins completely off of this. The Cowboys trio, when they're all healthy, when it's Dak, Amari, and Zeke, I'm in. When all three are playing, I'm in. When one of them's out, I'm like, I may watch that game.
There's not a scenario that shows my immaturity more than when the Dallas Cowboys are playing well. I will turn that TV off so fast. I cannot tolerate it. I don't care who they're playing. I cannot watch prosperity from the Dallas Cowboys. It does not matter.
I understand. It's like when I see the Red Sox. Whenever I see the Red Sox, like, I think I told you this story.
Yeah.
I saw Pedro Martinez a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I've never met him before.
He's a great dude.
I wanted to punch him in the face.
Nah.
Off of GP.
Hey, Pedro would have taken you down by your face.
Nah, man. He's like 4'11" compared.
Yeah, that's all good, man.
Little fella, little round guy.
He knows them pressure points.
You know what? I wouldn't let him throw nothing at me. Okay, number seven on my list. And remember, you can agree, disagree. Mm-hmm. And like that was Tariq Hill. He's on the field, man. I'm like, all right, what's he gonna do today?
Yeah.
Okay. Number six. This is where the list is kind of crazy because I would love to put him higher, but the rest of the list is so dope. Russell Wilson at six. Six.
Yeah, he belongs in the league. I got to give Russell Wilson a lot of credit because when he first came in and he was getting all this fanfare, I'm like, do you realize what this defense is doing? Like, he's putting the Legion of Boom out there for 40 minutes a game, and they're holding people to 7 and 10 points, and all he has to do is come out there and not stink for two drives, and they win the game. I'm like, are you actually paying attention? So I thought he got way too much credit early in his career. But he has earned it as his career has gone along. He's a definite baller, and he belongs on that list.
You know when it started to change for me? He came here to play against the Redskins. And you know when you watch a game without any broadcasters,
mm-hmm.
and you just enjoy it? I'm like, he's out there playing chess. That's when it happened. I was watching him, and this season's been great. I mean, he's on this list because like, he's playing chess, and they're not up. He's not even playing the same sport. That's when it changed for me. It was like 3 years ago, maybe.
And he's had to do all of this without listening to a single Future mixtape. You know Future is the official music of the NFL. He can't even ride with that. He has to listen to gospel, and he's still balling like this.
You know, they got gospel rap.
I mean, technically. Is that what you want to call Jesus is King?
No, that is not gospel rap. We can ask Darren Haynes about that later. He's into it.
He is.
And we got to know if he can listen to Kanye or not.
I would love to get his feeling on that, and he better say no.
All right, number five, Dalvin Cook. Five on my list. You want to put Russell Wilson ahead of him?
No. Dalvin Cook belongs on the list. He's good.
The Eminem of this list, Christian McCaffrey.
See, I would put.
So I gave it to Christian McCaffrey over Dalvin Cook because he has more rushing yards, had 107 catches last year. What is it, 80 his rookie year, 59 so far this year. It's like he's getting the ball every time. 4 and 5 are the same, interchangeable for me.
All right, fair enough.
So I was like, all right, one's I'm got better stats. Okay. Number three, there's a theme here.
This list has come a long way since Michael Thomas.
Deshaun Watson, number three on my list.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes he doesn't live up to what I'm waiting for. But when he does, whoo, he stands and delivers, takes the hits, throws touchdowns. He's just box
you know,
off.
That's a trick-or-treat team. The whole Texans team is trick-or-treat.
Right.
You know, they built up that matchup against the Ravens last week only to have it be, you know, it actually helped me because I was trying to decide whether to watch that game or Jets versus Redskins. And I decided, for your sake, Chris Miles, because I knew I was coming in here and I had to do radio, and I knew what a stickler you are for the Redskins X's and O's. I had to watch every snap of Jets Redskins, so I watched that instead, and I missed what could have been the game of the year. But thanks to Deshaun Watson and the Trigger Treat Texans who didn't show up, I missed nothing.
Can I tell you what I do with Redskins games? If I don't go to them, I DVR them, and I watch them on, like, Monday afternoon to study. I do not enjoy watching Redskins games.
I can tell you this. Redskins games is like the official sport of Black Twitter because at no point do more jokes get off than during Redskins games. I don't know if these are like fans or just people that recognize that this is an opportunity to get these jokes off, but it is, I'm telling you, it is a sight to behold.
Here's my thing about Twitter. Those aren't the fans. Twitter is a weird place because, like, Here's my thing. If you have enough time to sit there and tweet, like when I used, you know, if I'm getting ready for a pregame or a postgame show and I'm dialed into the game, I can't tweet. I got to focus on what I'm doing.
But you're working.
That's
these are not people
point.
That are working. Like, and
okay,
actually,
and
to
I'm
your
hanging
point.
Out, if I'm hanging out with my friends.
To your point.
I'm not tweeting. I'm enjoying some adult beverages and some wings.
Because like when I'm with my boys, that's when I have even better ideas for like funny
but
stuff.
But how many tweets do
it percolates?
You put out?
Oh,
you'll
I don't
put out like
I'm
one.
Not a volume shooter.
This is what I'm saying.
But like I'll have better content just because I'm with my boys, and that's like the cauldron that cooks really hot jokes.
The worst are those tweeters that are like Russell Westbrook just out there shooting bricks, bang bang. You're like, yo, shut up.
What?
No retweets, no likes.
You
talk
about,
stop it.
You talk about the people with the 5 digits in the number of tweets, which is like, how is that even possible to tweet that many times?
I don't even know how to find that.
Yeah.
That's how non. Like, what I do is I tweet, like, stats.
I know you don't
one
tweet.
One or two jokes.
Because you ain't even acknowledge or retweet when I tagged you.
I did.
I'm promoting, we coming
on
the show.
I said we have merch for sale.
I'm like, oh, he must be traveling or something.
I said we have merch for sale.
Did you?
I told people we got the CDs, the DVDs, the T-shirts.
We're going to be out in front of BJ's in Prince George's County with these CDs.
Let's not get bagged for. Okay, wait. We got two more before we got to go to break. Lamar Jackson, number two on my list.
Oh.
Number two.
Okay, I already disagree with number one.
Well,
unacceptable.
Well, you know who number one is.
Unacceptable.
You know who number one is.
I have no idea who could be number one.
A healthy Patrick Mahomes, man. He's done. He's, man,
yeah,
when he's healthy, he be on some other. Do we have a button where I can?
I'm
going to curse.
I'm going to argue that Lamar Jackson should be ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
So here's the thing.
Not in terms of who's better, but in terms of must-see TV, most watchable, I'm going to argue Lamar Jackson.
Man.
Lamar Jackson is in the, and actually Patrick Mahomes is too, in the all-time
it's just those two.
Rankings.
It's just those two. I feel like Deshaun Watson is right there.
Not in the
but
all-times.
But he's not consistent.
Not in the all-times. In the all-time must-see NFL. You know what? That's what we're going to do when we come back. I'm going to do the all-time NFL must-see rankings.
That's almost impossible.
I'll show you how it's done.
That's like doing the all-time NBA point guard list. It's just like, have you ever tried that, by the way?
Oh, that's easy.
There's like 16,000 names.
That's easy. I can give you the top five off the top of my head.
Let's go. Do it now before we go to break. Do it now.
Michael Adams, John Wall.
Oh, Michael Adams,
Gilbert
my
Arenas.
Dude. Stop it right there.
Okay.
Michael Adams, first of all.
Muggsy Bogues? I mean, come on, man.
Hey, can I tell you something? I saw Muggsy Bogues for the first time, and he was at my hip. And I was like, yo, this dude made it in the league. You're a superhero.
He did.
I didn't tell him that, but he could see it in my face.
I'm sure he could. I'm sure he's used to people feeling that way about him when he comes up to their hip.
I mean, I'm only 6 feet tall, and he was like, he might be 4'11".
Do you know what kind of motivation and strength of character you have to have just to smell people's hips for your whole lifetime?
We got to go to break.
And keep it moving?
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.